Let me begin by thanking the organizers for the unexpected pleasure of being able to give a talk. So I want to talk about something that's very simple and hopefully not too demanding. If it looks like it was written at 5 o'clock this morning, there is a good reason for that. So this is joint work with Richard Sharp. Who is at Manchester University, and let me give you an idea of what it's about. So there were some results in recent years by various people like Le Drapier and Bablio and Starig and people like that, who proved various results about horizontal flows, not on compact surfaces, but on periodic surfaces, that is ZD covers, infinite area guys, sitting above the usual kind of compact setting. And so what we wanted to do was just to find some sort of analog of this, which instead of involving a flow, has some sort of discrete analog. So the idea was to give a simple, or maybe not so simple, discrete analog of recent work on horocycle flows on ZD covers. Okay, so let me just begin by saying a few trivial things, which are, of course, well known. So the more familiar compact setting. So this is in the case of unique ergodicity. So the example I was alluding to, of course, was the case of a horocycle flow on a compact surface, for which you could consider the cover. So if you just consider the compact case, I use the following notation. So Z just denotes a compact Riemann surface. With negative Euler characteristic. And I'll let S1 of V be the unit tangent bundle. And I'll denote by H of T the horocycle flow, or some horizontal flow, defined on the unit tangent bundle. So it's just the usual sort of picture. We have our surface, in this case of genus 2, and we have some particular unit tangent vector, maybe this guy, and then we look at all the guys on the same stable manifold. And then, if this is V, then HT of V is just what we get by translating the vector through a distance T along the horocycle. And since I chose it to be a Riemann surface, it's just the usual notion of distance. Okay, and then the classical result is that, in this case, the horocycle flow is uniquely ergodic. And in particular, in this example, the usual Liouville measure, which I'll denote by lambda, is the unique invariant measure for the horizontal flow up to normalization. Very simple example. And a discrete analog of this might be, for example, these boards are much heavier than they look. My strains and groans will be recorded for posterity. So we can also consider the case of Northrop-15 morphisms, so in this case I'll just consider the following case. So F here is going to be a Northrop-15 morphism on the usual two torus, very simple example. And I'll denote by WS at the point X just a stable manifold. So this is just the usual stable leaf. Point X on the torus. And so we can consider the corresponding question for that. And in this case, the corresponding result is that the foliation of all such leaves, so I'll denote this by W of S, so it's a collection of all these one-dimensional leaves, is uniquely ergodic. Which in this case just means it's a unique transverse measure. Which, for want of anything else, I'll denote by M. So it's just a collection of measures supported on compact transverse sections to the foliation, and it's transverse in the usual sense. So here is the torus, lovely good picture, and there's the foliation by a stable manifold, and so it's just a collection of measures that sit on all the compact transverse sections. These are all stable, so they should have arrows on them, I guess, denoting that they're stable. Okay, so these are two very familiar settings where one can show that there is a unique measure. And a related one would be if we replace the Anosov model by something that's pseudo-Anosov. So in that case, let M be compact surface again. Maybe in this case the genus is bigger than 1, and I'll let S from M to M be a pseudo-Anosov homeomorphism. And I use the same notation, which is that WS of X is again a stable leaf. Give or take the problem points. And the corresponding result will be that the foliation is more or less, W of S, WS of X. So the collection of all stable leaves for this thing is essentially uniquely ergodic. So in this case, the surface can be pi genus, and maybe the foliations are more complicated, especially at bad points, but something similar happens. Okay, so these are just three very classical examples of compact surfaces, or in this case a three manifold, since it's a unit tangent bundle, but compact settings where you have a unique ergodicity. And so the results I alluded to over here were recent results by various people about horocycles on ZD covers. So they're infinite area things. And so let me just say a bit about those. So here we have horocycle flows on periodic surfaces. Okay, so the situation here is that we look at the first example. So we have a compact surface, this guy up here, which is V, and we take a cover for it, which is fairly big but not too big. So V hat is going to be a Z D cover for V. So topologically it's got deck transformations that correspond to ZD, and we can just think of pulling up the metric. Okay, so this is what I mean when I refer to a periodic surface. And we could also lift up the horocycle flow, because the horocycles are pretty well defined up there as well. And so I'll denote H hat. Hat means we're upstairs. So this is going to be the flow on the unit tangent bundle of this cover. So this is the horocycle flow. On S1 of V. And there's also a measure which is natural upstairs. So on the compact surface, we thought about the Liouville measure. So upstairs, we just take the lift of that. Okay. So let me draw some sort of picture somewhere. Maybe over here. So here's a picture of our two-hole torus again, which is a compact guy. So we can think of cutting it maybe along this line, and then we get lots of pieces which look nothing like this, at least topologically, which we stick together by some sort of indented plumbing. And so this would be a Z cover, say, the hat for our surface downstairs. Kind of standard construction. And by cutting along here, we could make a Z2 cover that looks like some sort of big sort of a lattice thing. And in this case, so pi here is just the usual projection. And I'll denote by TZ, this is a map from this to itself, just the corresponding deck transformations where Z is just an element of ZD. So TZ just shifts this thing along by the corresponding element of ZD. Okay, and so if we have a horocycle downstairs, maybe some appropriate color, maybe this guy, winding around, then upstairs it may actually go in some direction like this, and so it's slightly more complicated than it was downstairs. And so the result of Babilio and Le Drapier was that the horocycle flow defined upstairs, which is this guy here, is in fact still ergodic, just as it was downstairs. So it says that the horocycle flow defined upstairs on the unit tangent bundle of this periodic surface sitting up there, despite the fact it's an infinite area, is still a godhead. So if you look at the geodesic flow on some sort of periodic surface, it's certainly a godic downstairs, but upstairs, whether or not it's a godic depends on D. If it's 1 or 2, then it's still a godic. If it's bigger than 2, it's not. But for the holocycle flow, it's always a godic with respect to this measure, lambda hat, which is the difference of these things. And secondly, although the measure, the flow downstairs is uniquely ergodic, there's only one invariant measure up to some normalization. This is not the case for the cover. In fact, there's a whole family of measures. So there exist distinct ergodic measures which I'll denote by mu hat A. So the hat is because it's a measure which lives upstairs at the same place as the lambda hat, and the A is just some index which lies inside RD. It's the same D as the dimension of the abelian cover, and these measures are kind of characterized by the fact that if we translate them according to the deck transformations, then what happens is we get the same measure, but it's scaled by something, and it's something like e to the a z. This is an inner product. It's the two things in RD, basically, and this is something that's true for all translations. So in the case that a was equal to 0, then we would get the measure lambda hat, the original one. But more generally, you get measures which are different. And then there's a result by Sarek, more recently, who showed that, in fact, there are basically no other measures which are invariant for the holocycle flow upstairs other than these guys, you know, up to the usual thing about normalizations and being Radon measures. So no other godic finitely compact sets having finite measure, so Radon measures. Okay, so these are kind of nice results about an infinite measure system. And one could ask, you know, can you do something similar in the discrete case? If you think about just a case of defoliation of a torus corresponding to stable manifolds for an Anosov diffeomorphism, or we think about the pseudo-Anosov case, we can ask whether or not anything like that would be true if we lift the foliation to some sort of abelian cover. So that's the question I just want to address. And so this is about lifts of pseudo-Anosov foliations. Okay, so I use the following notation, which is rather similar to what I used before. So, as before, I'll let F be a map on a compact surface. This is going to be the pseudo-Anosov guy. And it has a corresponding foliation by stable leaves, give or take. And I'll let M hat be a ZD cover for this thing. This is the periodic surface, and I'll use the notation again that pi is just the projection down to the original surface. And since everything is well defined locally, we can just lift the foliation. So this is the lift of the stable leaves on the surface M up to this abelian cover, and we can also lift up the transverse measure. So M hat is the lift of the original measure I had downstairs, the transverse measure associated to the foliation here. So this is a list of this. Okay, so here was a section, here was the measure, and K sitting on that. Okay, so we can ask the same sort of questions. So if we think about what this does, we have our surface, that was for the whole cycle flow. So for the foliation by stable manifolds on the surface M associated to a Sudermanosov map, we'll have a similar picture. So here is our surface. There's some sort of cover upstairs. And downstairs, we have our stable leaves. We can lift these upstairs. This is part of the foliation. WS hat. So this was M, this is M hat. And there's some translation by Z to the D, equal to 1 in the picture. And one can ask, well, is this foliation here going to be ergodic with respect to this measure N hat? So question. When is M hat ergodic? So there are certain obstacles to this initially. So if you just take a two-hole, if you just take a standard torus, and you look at a linear Anosov diffeomorphism, then of course the stable manifolds just spiral around it. It's an irrational angle. So if you go to a cover of that, then the things just spiral off to infinity. If you look at a long tube, or they just shoot off in a straight line. If you look at the Z2 cover, because the covering is there is just a plane. So one has to impose some hypotheses, otherwise one gets absolutely nowhere. So there's a problem with F from T2 to T2 and also. So we need to impose some sort of hypothesis to get this thing to work, unlike in the case of horocycle flows. So let me begin. I was thinking of giving you the hypothesis and then the statement of the theorem, but since it looks so tedious, maybe I'll give an example first. Okay, so the example is basically the following. So let me not start with M, let me not start with M hat, but let me introduce another guy, which is going to be M bar, which is just a two torus, very simple thing. And I'll let F bar be a map on the torus, which is a C infinity diffeomorphism, which is isotopic the identity. So it can just be continuously deformed back to the identity. So far it's not very exciting. But let me also assume that there are vectors row 1, row 2, and row 3. And these are rotation vectors. Say R2. For three distinct periodic orbits. Defined some way or other. And I'll assume that we have the following fact, which is that if we look at these three vectors inside R2, then convex hull has non-empty interior. This is row 1, row 2, row 3. So I'll assume that the convex hull, whoops, the interior of the convex hull of rho 1, rho 2, rho 3 is not equal to the empty set. Okay, so I've made lots of hypotheses so far for no, as of yet, apparent reason. But let me try to explain what the point of it is. Well, the point is that you want to take these three points, or maybe these three periodic orbits, and take them out of the surface and blow them up into boundary points. And then the condition on these rotation vectors is enough that the corresponding homeomorphism that's left can be isotopic into something which is pseudo-Anosov. That's the reason this condition is there. So, do the following. So M is going to be the surface Sorry, say again. It's essentially a sort of drift in homology if you iterate an orbit. So you can define it by taking suspensions to make it well defined. But basically, if you look at the universal cover, in this case the universal cover because it's a torus, and you see where points go. Basically, yeah. Yeah, it's not too unrelated to these Schwarzschild cycles that were mentioned in the last lecture. Okay, so I'm replacing the periodic orbits by boundaries. Something like that. So since it's differentiable, you can just blow them up, and it's kind of fine to do that. And I'll let F from M to M, which was the map we were considering originally. It comes from this map, F bar, because it's the associated, in this case, map, which in fact is isotopic to something, so I may as well assume it to be that, which is pseudo-Anosov by a result of Libra and Mackay. So it's a way to construct examples of pseudo-Anosov maps. And the reason I've done it this way is because I can now look at M hat. Yes. It has, well, sort of, yes. I've taken the points out. The boundary isn't going to play a role in this at all.
You
mean it's on a punctured part? Basically punctured, yes. Now, when I draw these things, I'll actually have boundaries because that's how I kind of draw them. You have to take some sort of license in these things. Okay. And M hat is going to be a Z, or maybe Z2, cover for for M. But in fact, it's going to be coming from the original manifold, which is a torus M hat. So let me draw a picture of this, which will make it almost crystal clear. Sorry? No. No, that's why I don't want to blow them up too much. I'm just thinking it's just been points that have gone. Okay, so let me draw a sort of picture to illustrate this. We started off with the torus, which was M bar, and it had just some map. F bar, his only property was that he was smooth, and he had these rotation vectors, rho 1, rho 2, rho 3. And then from that, we associated our pseudo-Anosov guy, which is going to be F on this surface M. And then we can think of, well, we could have thought of a cover for this, which in this case would have just been some long tube, maybe. So there were these periodic points hanging around. And we just think of blowing these up on the surface upstairs. So in this picture, we think of these as being slightly bigger, or actually being taken out. And so this is the map. That's not a map at all, in fact. But downstairs, we have our foliation from the fact that this map F is pseudo-Anosov by stable leaves. And we can lift this, because it's locally defined, upstairs, like that. And the claim would be that the foliation upstairs, so this downstairs is W of S, this is W of S hat, this is M hat, then the claim is that the foliation upstairs is ergodic with respect to lifted measure M hat. So M hat here is, again, lift of the transverse measure, which was defined on these compact sections. Okay, so the claim is that the same thing is sort of true. You go upstairs, and then this foliation is, again, a ergodic. There's a hat on there. This one. Thanks. Yeah, so basically these leaves don't go off in some particular direction. They kind of come back a lot. And it does it in such a way that this foliation is ergodic with respect to this transverse measure, which is defined upstairs in a different color. Here is transverse sections. So the measure downstairs is called M on K, and upstairs is going to be M hat on the corresponding sections. Sorry? Unicodicity won't be true for the same reason that it's not true for the horocycle flow, which is because you can build in something into defining measures which allows you to exploit the translation. So there'll be a whole family of measures which are indexed by, again, the property if you translate them, they get bigger by some fixed factor. And that's, it's going to be for exactly the same reason. Basically, yes. Basically means something very vague. Maybe if I say something about the proof in a minute, it will become slightly clearer. No. Well, I'm certainly restricting. Okay, so there's two things I need. I need certainly that the cover is a ZD cover. It has to be abelian. And secondly, there are some hypotheses in general, which are that you need that this property of relating the pseudo-Anosov map to something that's not pseudo-Anosov. Well, the corresponding map here should be isotopic to the identity, for some reason, connected with rotation vectors. And secondly, you need that when you do this process, it doesn't screw up too much for translations. So somehow the translations have to be kind of independent of this blowing up of points in these sorts of constructions. Okay, so let me see if I can formulate a statement which is suitably vague. So a kind of general hypothesis will be the following. So let's assume, well, so the first hypothesis will be that if we collapse, whatever that means, some boundaries, on M to get M bar, then the corresponding map which I'll call something F bar is isotopic to the identity. And the second hypothesis is, I guess, something like the following, that the ZD cover for M comes from that for this sort of collapse thing. So you should think of this example as being a particular case and try to think what the correct hypothesis should be in general. Hopefully something a bit like that. And then the theorem would be the same as the claim, which is that the thing is ergodic. The transverse measure you get, the one you lift from downstairs, is ergodic. And also this statement about a whole family of different transverse measures coming from the possibility of translating. So the theorem would be, under hypotheses 1 and 2, we get that the transverse measure M hat for the lifted foliation is ergodic, but it's not uniquely ergodic, a comma, because the following thing, which is that there exists a lot of transverse measures, so there exists distinct ergodic transverse measures. So I've denoted these before, exactly as in the horocycle case. M hat A, where A is going to be an element of ZD, the covering group for the compact surface. And here it's the same property, that if we take these transverse measures on sections, we move the sections under the deck transformations, then what happens is that the image of the measure on some particular section is the same as the measure when we translate it, except it's scaled by some factor EZA. So this should be true for all translations. So the measures look the same in different places, except they're scaled by some amount. Okay, so that's the statement. So why is the statement as it is, and what's the connection with the results of Babideau and Le Drapier, which was something kind of nice for horocycle flows? And the answer is something like the following. So the way that the result for horocycle flows can be proved is to use symbolic dynamics for the underlying hyperbolic compact system, like the geodesic flow. And then using the symbolic dynamics for the geodesic flow, you can consider the horocycles downstairs. And then when you look at the cover upstairs, it corresponds to some sort of skew product, basically. And one of the complications in doing it this way is because, well, unfortunately, geodesic flows are continuous things, so there's some sort of roof function that keeps track of how far you flow in symbolic dynamics, and that's the thing that causes problems. It's hard to deal with, technically. Whereas in this particular case, you can model the Pseudo-Nosov map somewhere downstairs, and when you look at its cover, then it's much simpler because we don't have to worry about the flow direction because there isn't one. And basically, symbolically, it's more or less much easier to handle. So let me just say a few words about the proof, since it's kind of straightforward. So let me just say what I was saying again about how to study the compact cases. So the idea of the proof is just to recall, in the case of the horocycle flow on a compact surface, or in the case of the foliation for the Nosov toroidal automorphism, that you can use symbolic dynamics. So this approach was an approach of Bowen and Marcus from the mid-70s. And so basically the idea is to model maybe the Anosov map or pseudo-Anosov map by a subject of finite type. So I'll denote that by sigma onto sigma. So of course here we have some sort of Markov partition. And then the idea of course is that the Markov partitions are foliated by stable leaves. So if you throw away the stable leaves, then what you're left with is just the unstable direction, which look nothing like transverse sections. So in particular, you can model the transverse sections by one-sided subshifts of finite type. So that's going to be sigma max sigma plus to sigma plus. So if you have a sequence in sigma, it corresponds to a point downstairs as given by the Markov partition. If you only have a one-sided sequence, then it just corresponds to a point on some appropriate section sitting inside one of these rectangles. And then to prove ergodicity, you don't prove it for the usual kind of holonomy, you prove it for an equivalence relation. So you kind of lift the problem from the situation here, so on the space M, say, you lift it up to this space sigma plus, and you prove ergodicity of the equivalence relation where you say the two sequences are equivalent precisely when, so X and Y are sequences in the space, so they correspond to points on these sections, exactly when we can find some N such that if we shift the sequence forward by N steps, it agrees with the sequence Y. So they agree after a finite number of steps. And so if you can prove ergodicity of that, then it just corresponds to ergodicity of the original foliation, give or take. Okay, and so if you look at the corresponding situation, where you take a ZD cover, it's exactly the same picture. That is, we can lift everything locally, because these partitions are generally kind of small. The only difference is that we have to have some function built into it that tells us which copy we're on in terms of the covering space. And so for ZD covers, then we use a skew product. And the skew product is of the following form. So it's defined on sections or one-sided shift space, which tells us about sections. And we also have to be in a particular copy upstairs by translation. And the dynamics here is just the following, that given a sequence and a vector, we simply move it according to the dynamics downstairs, and upstairs we translate it by something depending on where we were. So upstairs the dynamics, it's kind of like this, and so in particular we can model the transverse sections upstairs on the ZD cover by the dynamics of this transformation. And ergodicity of the foliation upstairs, you can guess, corresponds to ergodicity of the corresponding relation here. So it corresponds to, well, it's equivalent to of the equivalence relation that XZ is equivalent to Y something, if and only if sigma hat to the N is equal to, if XZ is equal to sigma hat to the N of Y psi for some n greater than or equal to 0. And so one can attempt to prove ergodicity of this in pretty much the same way that you would prove ergodicity down here. At the symbolic level, it's kind of easy. The only thing that one really needs is that this function h doesn't always kind of go in the same direction, otherwise you'd have the same problem upstairs, the point's drifting away. And so there's a condition that stops that, which is related to something called aperiodicity. And this comes about simply because of his hypothesis I put on the construction before. So the point of the hypothesis is to prove this. Okay, so it's now 1:37. I think that's a great time to stop.